Heavenly Father, you are good and faithful, and your word is ever true and able to build us up. Please now, by the power of your Spirit, help us to receive your word and respond together as your people, for we pray for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Good morning. Our first reading is from Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45, and it can be found on page 869 in your pew Bible. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, 1 to 16, and it's 1007 in the Pew Bible. "As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up. May be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, Jill. I've heard workers on a factory floor complain that they've been treated like mushrooms. Maybe you've heard this. Kept in the dark and fed on manure, let's call it. Where they've got the message from on high, the factory's in trouble, work harder. And so they do work harder. But that's the same message, it just keeps coming down the line. The factory's in trouble, work harder, work harder, work harder. And work hard as they do, they never get a glimmer of hope. Is there any improvement in sight? And where there's no sense of purpose, it is hard to make an effort. I guess, to use a different example, I guess it's sort of like cooking dinner every night. Where there's a guest coming for dinner, you think, yes, I'm going to cook a lovely meal for them to welcome them into our home and around to our table. It puts a spring in your step. It gives you energy as you might think about what you'll serve them and so on. But when it's just the same old. Well, one lady I know says, I've just given up trying to cook dinner. Eggs on toast, that'll keep us going. I say, come on. No, I've given up. No sense of purpose. A sense of purpose actually does help, I think, do basic tasks like that. But where there's no sense of purpose, well, it's hard to care, let alone to commit. As we continue our series this morning, our series is, what does it mean to be God's church? And we're thinking this morning about the great purpose that the church has. We've, in previous weeks, thought more about what the church is like or its identity. So we've talked about how the church is gathered by God to hear his voice. We've covered how the church is like a bride, covenantally loved by the Lord Jesus Christ, the bridegroom. Last week, if you recall, the church is a fellowship filled with God's Holy Spirit, knit together by that one Spirit. So they're sort of all thinking more about identity, what the church, who the church is. Today we now sort of switch and think what the church does. What is the sort of characteristic operation of the church? And in contrast to our factory workers or our person eating eggs on toast, the church has a purpose, a purpose given us by God. And the church operates, here's the big idea, on the basis of purposeful serving. That's the idea for today, purposeful serving. The church, I want to suggest to you, is begun by purposeful serving. It continues on the basis of purposeful serving, and it's crowned by purposeful serving. Now, this is not a new thought to many of us here today, but even if it's not new to you, it's so vital, because by this big idea that I think we'll see from our passages, we're trained for life following Jesus Christ. So this morning, the heading I've put, and I'll put this in the news sheet if you wanted to take down a question or something, purposeful serving to build the body. That's what does the church do? Here it is, purposeful serving to build the body. And our two passages, I think, bring this out. And what I want to do is have a look at each of those passages, first Mark 10, then Ephesians 4, and think about as we go along how that informs our life now and going forward. So would you come with me, therefore, to Mark chapter 10, page 869 in your Bibles, if you've got them there. And I've got a couple of headings which I've put in the news sheet if you wanted to follow along. And the first heading is Church Built on His Purposeful Serving. Now, Mark chapter 10, we're diving into the middle of an exchange between Jesus and his inner circle about greatness. James and John are trying to angle in for their slice of glory. The Lord Jesus rebukes them and rebukes the worldly greatness that they're chasing. The rulers of this world, Jesus says, love to, here's the idea, lord it over others. What does that mean? Domineering. Trampling. Belittling one in order to exalt self. the rulers of this world love to lord it over others. How does Jesus respond? Not so with you. That's not the way for the disciple of Christ. And in stark, you might say staggering contrast, Jesus tells and shows us the different way. Verse 43, instead, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. Strong language. Put yourself at the bottom of the heap if you want to be considered the greatest in God's eyes. Jesus here turns the natural thinking of our world on its head. To be great is to be a servant. Now, you might say to yourself, well, I sort of think serving is a pretty important thing in life. But can I just take you to a bit of a history tour for a second? Because in Greek times, Roman times, humility was considered, well, not only weak, it was sort of despised. You'd want to be humble. But because of Jesus and because of teachable moments that are recorded of his like this, servant leadership is now seen as the great positive in our world. And not only by Christians, by all kinds of different people. To be a leader is to be a servant leader. We love that in our world today. Humility that was despised and weak is now seen as a great strength. Well, Jesus shows us exactly this servant thinking in verse 45, how he walks the talk. Mark 10:45. Just as an aside, if you want a verse to memorize, Mark 10:45 is for you. Note it down, learn it. A choice gem. It's a verse you'll need, and it's a sentence that I think will benefit others if you've got it front of mind. Why is servant leadership the way? Well, verse 45 tells us, because even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. He doesn't come to trample people in order to climb higher. He comes to put a towel around his waist and step into the place of serving others. And not only do the serving menial work he does, wash his disciples' feet and feed the crowds and heal the sick, but he goes to the cross. Here is ultimate service. He goes to his own death, and it's a purposeful death because it says it's to benefit the many. His purposeful serving here is unpacked as giving his life, there's the death, as a ransom for many. Where good people might serve, you know, beyond what's comfortable or beyond what's convenient, he serves ultimately, giving his life as a sacrifice. And here, as a ransom, what does that word mean? Well, it means bearing the judgment in your place and mine, buying us out of the judgment that we deserve, securing us by serving us. And so where he promises, we heard this promise a couple of weeks ago, I will build my church. He knows that this means through his own costly, purposeful service, giving his life as a ransom for me. The church is begun, or we might say built, by his purposeful serving. Now, I want to take us to Ephesians, which then sort of moves to our part in all of this. But before we go to Ephesians, it will be so remiss of me, while we're here at Mark 10:45, not to ask, have you asked Jesus to serve you in the way that he promises to do so here? Have you asked him to pay the price for you? I'm sorry if that's an obvious question, just that it's better to ask than to assume. If we're to have life with God, if we're to have a part with Christ, we must have him serve us in the way that he explains here. We must have him deal with our sins and bear our judgment, lest we bear them on our own. If you have asked him, rejoice. Because he's risen from the dead and he's good on his promise, that means. He's paid your ransom in full. United to him means being a loved part of his body. But if you've not yet asked him, can I just encourage you, seek him today. Ask him now. Lord, might your death be also for me and my sins. Please can I have the forgiveness that you hold out to me? He must serve you if you're to have a part with him. Well, that's the first up. Church built on his purposeful serving. Second part will take a bit longer here in Ephesians 4. Church built up by our purposeful serving. And our passage, Ephesians 4, is where we get that really wonderful idea of the church as the body of Christ. We had that in the verse 4, chapter 4. There is one body. And we see that in a couple of other places in the New Testament too. We who are many members are one body in Christ. And this idea of the body helps us to see the value of every part. It's amazing how when you bang your little toe against a table leg or something, how that one tiny little body part has a massive effect on the whole. Has that ever happened to you? You've banged your toe? Oh, only a couple. I thought, there is a few. Yeah, I was wondering if I was the only clod. Painful. You think, how can a little toe produce so much effect on a body? It does. Oh, my goodness, it does. What does it mean to be members of this body of Christ, the church called the body of Christ? What does it mean? Well, just a quick context of Ephesians. Ephesians 1 to 3 speaks about how God has provided for us, chosen, forgiven, loved, included in the body of Christ. We might summarise how by saying his gracious provision and our responding trust. It's by faith you're saved. It's by grace you're saved through faith is what Ephesians 2 puts. Or Ephesians 3 verse 8, the boundless riches of Christ. There's the grace. And verse 12, through faith in him, we can approach God confidently with freedom. Well, Ephesians 4, having laid that, having sort of the first three chapters laid the foundation, Ephesians 4 moves to what it means to be members of this body of Christ. And the bare bones summary, I've put this in the news sheet. I think you'd have to say verses 1 to 16 have at least three main lines of thought that I want to lay out for you. What does it mean to be part of the body? Well, it means first to be saved together into one body. Next, there's grace given to serve the body. And third, so that we'll never be moved from God's saving truth. There's my take at a bare bones summary of our passage. There's way more in this than we can cover this morning. But let me just notice with you one point from each of those main lines. So saved together into his one body. We're sort of thinking here verses 1 to 6. And see how there's effort? Make every effort. What's the effort required? It's not to create a unity, but to keep it. To keep the unity that he saves you into. To be forgiven through the cross is to be joined into his one body. And this one body, this unity is given by God because it's comprised of one spirit. And it has one hope of his resurrection. It's guaranteed by the resurrection of Christ who calls you to walk in this one faith. So we don't need to manufacture a unity. God our Father saves us into it. That's a great relief. Because how else are we going to be joined together to people we sort of never met or people so unlike? Or God does it by giving you his spirit. Our part is simply to respond to him, being patient, bearing with one another, loving one another. Okay, that's the first. Second line of this passage, grace given, verse 7, to serve the body, verse 12. God who saves us into the one body of Christ is the God who keeps us. He will keep us day and night, is the song we've just sung. God not only provides for your saving, he provides for your keeping. He gives grace. And notice here Ephesians 4 verse 7 where it says, to each one of us grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. And the grace given in verse 7 is explained down in verse 11 as roles that God has given to the church. Foundation roles, the Old Testament prophets, the New Testament apostles, And the ongoing roles, calling, teaching, shepherding, given for every church in every age. Elsewhere in Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12, the grace given is detailed a bit more. Gifts that are talked about include speaking gifts like urging and prophesying, or doing gifts like giving and serving and consoling and showing hospitality and the like. The point is, God gives grace to each member so that the body may be built up. And verse 12, if I can just point you there, God gives gifts to equip his people for works of service. Sometimes the translations say for works of ministry, because the idea of ministry, a Christian ministry or service, they're the same idea. God gives grace to equip the body and each part of it so that the body may be built up. In other words, God's intention is for you and me to be at work serving the body and serving to see the body built up, is verse 12. Two examples. How significant is it to take a meal around to someone who's unwell? Well, let me tell you about Anna. She received a pretty standard dinner of meatballs one night. Well, you would have thought all of her Christmases came at once. Wow, she said, no one's ever shown a kindness like that. And just kept raving about it. It was only meatballs. And yet, a gift like that, given in love, builds relationship. Different example. What about a speaking kind of gift? It was a few years ago now, but I remember the details clearly. Lindsay was chatting with others after church, and he observed me treating a group abruptly. Well, abruptly is being too kind, probably. Weeks later, like he didn't sort of call me over and da-da-da. Weeks later, he took me aside and said, do you remember that moment? Yeah, I remember. Do you remember what you did? Yes. Did you notice the effect that it had on others? No, because I'm such a clod. Do you know, the effect on it just scattered everyone else and it kind of ruined the moment for everyone else. Oh. He said, maybe think about that for next time. Yeah. Spot on, Lindsay. A word of rebuke given in love, patient love. I thank God for him. And it still does train me to try not to be such a clod. God gives gifts to people, sometimes speaking gifts, sometimes doing gifts, to build up his body. Can you think of examples of God's people at work where you've seen actually the people of God built up, helped, loved, through serving, through speaking, whatever it is? Have you seen examples of that? You know, if you have, it'll be a great encouragement to share them at morning tea time. That'll spur us all on. Because the point is, you're involved. You're part of the body. If you believe in the Lord Jesus, you're involved. Whether in a church here or in a church somewhere, you're involved. You have a part. What's the opposite of this idea of the church as the body of Christ? I've been trying to think about this. Here's my suggestion, the bus. Instead of the body, the bus. Like, think about a bus trip for a second. To take a bus trip to town, you get to the stop, jump on the bus, pay your fare, sit on the bus, wait, it arrives, you get off, you depart, you're done. Inactive. The opposite of the bus is the body of Christ, because each part is active at work, speaking the truth in love, doing, sharing, giving, whatever it is, caring, so that the body may be built up. There's not just one bus driver. No, there's a whole body at work. Do you need your liver to be at work right now? Yes, you do. I hope it is. Do you need your heart to keep? Absolutely, you do. Each part of your body is vital, and each part of our body is important. Now, we might want to protest, but I'm too old. I'm too new to this church. I'm too new to Christ. I've got so many other constraints, don't you know? And we could go on, but. Yep. God knows all that. And he gives grace to every member so that every member serving works together to see the body built up. So it's not like one or two people doing it alone. By no means. It's a together effort. And the grace given includes through the changing life of the body. So the woman, once powerful in hosting dinners at her home, is given grace to both hang up her apron and take up calling people and turning their problems into prayer. Grace given to build up the body, purposefully serving to build up this body. Now, some of us want to ask, well, what's my gift? Others want to say, oh, sorry, cleaning is not my gift. Do you know, I think the attitude is the key thing here. I'm willing to serve. That's what the Lord Jesus had, that attitude of stepping forward to the cross. That's, I think, the attitude that the Spirit grows in us. It takes humility, it takes time, it takes patience. But would you say, could you say, I am willing to serve, not just amongst us here on a Sunday morning, but beyond, when we gather in other places, in the family, in your workplace? Are you a sort of person that says, I'm willing to serve? Lord, I'm willing, use me. And I think the key part when we think about the life of our church, and now we're coming to that third main line of Ephesians 4, we need this work of service so that we'll never be moved from God's saving truth. Verse 14, if I can just point you there in Ephesians, it highlights the danger of remaining infants, of not growing up and not maturing. The danger is that we'll be tossed back and forth by every new teaching and we'll be completely unstable as a body. If we're not built up, we're vulnerable to deceptive scheming, it says. Now, is that right? Is that true? Do you feel vulnerable to deceptive schemes? Well, I've got to say, there's so many different messages in our world. It is actually easy to be taken off course. And to think, oh, this different message is now the way to live. Here's an example. A message that I hear routinely, maybe you hear different, but here's one I hear, is take pride in yourself. Don't let other people affect you. Don't let other ideas affect you. You do you, and you do you proud of you. Take pride in yourself. Now, that sounds like a very affirming message, doesn't it? What could be wrong with that? Well, one thing that's wrong with it is it's so profoundly self-centered, so selfish. And if we just soak in that message long enough, that's how we'll end up living. So no surprise, yesterday I heard in the news like they're putting out sandbags in Auckland again with the rain coming. So the council went and dumped sand in different spots. And do you know, here's people turning up with their shovels in their bag, elbowing the others out of the way. Get out of the way. I want to get my sand. You do you. End up being so profoundly selfish. We need the ministry of the body. We need teaching. We need reminding. We need showing. We need practicing. We need to remember this message. And we need to keep learning from the Lord Jesus, who came to serve. And with the purpose of serving, to build up his body. So you're needed by the body, your part in our life. Notice how it says there at the end of verse 16, each part doing its work. Your part, and your part, and your part, and your part. You're needed. You need the body. That's a humbling thought, but it's true. That's what it's saying here. Each part needs the other. The serving mindset, I think, is where Ephesians 4 and where this whole message lands practically. Do you have that serving mindset? Here I am, Lord. I'm willing. How can I serve? To get practical, how does that work in our church? Our vestry have sort of thought about what does it mean for a church to grow? And it might mean a number of different things. But at the very least, it means reaching people who don't have a church family. It means connecting such people with the Lord and with his people. It means growing others up in the Lord and it means then equipping for service. Like our vestry have sort of identified those different stages, if you will, in helping others come to know and love him. Well, a prayer that you could pray to get super practical is, Lord, how do you want to grow this body? And please would you not only show us, but give us the grace needed. That'd be a great prayer to pray. We need each other. We need this serving mindset because the world we live in is forever sort of pushing against serving together. But let's, I should just say, I observe you. I observe us as a church serving with that kind of mindset. I think we're doing this. And so I want to say to you, keep making the effort. It's wonderful. And it's wonderful in part because the church is crowned by purposeful serving, crowned. This is our final point. I'm going to finish on this, just a comment or two. The serving that we give ourselves to now is not just a temporary thing. Do you know, we'll be serving into eternity with gladness and joy. How we learn to serve here and now is a character trait that we'll take with us into the new creation. Jesus Christ in different places called the servant of the Lord. And you know, what's true of the head is true of the body. Servants of the Lord. And to serve is to make God so pleased. Just to finish on the factory worker kept in the dark, feeling flat because he has no purpose. There's great purpose to be found in serving those around you. There's great purpose to be found in serving those around you. If you want an example, Joseph, Old Testament Joseph, thrown in jail. How many years? 2, 10, more? What did he do? Served. Served those around him. Found purpose in serving in whatever obvious way that he could see to serve. And as a foretaste of the eternal future, God crowned that servant with great favour, not only in God's eyes, but in the eyes of others. In a world that we live in of serving self, do you know, serving others is one of the ways we show forth the glory of Jesus Christ. Purposeful serving of the body to see it built up. Let me pray. Father, how do you want us to grow? Please would you show us, and please would you give us grace, and please would you make us willing to serve one another in love, speaking the truth in love, building one another up in love. Father, this work can only come because you promise it and you provide for it. So please would you provide. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.